A Norwegian-based company has reached agreement with the city of Pensacola to lease a warehouse at the port downtown. WUWF's Dave Dunwoody reports.
Offshore Inland is no stranger to the Gulf Coast. With facilities in Mobile, Galveston, and Port Freeport, Texas, Port Fourchon, Louisiana, and Dos Bocas, Mexico, the firm plans to spend up to $12 million to build the Pensacola operation.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that, in my opinion, we're looking at the best future use of the Port of Pensacola.
UWF economist Rick Harper.
The breakbulk cargoes, the frozen chickens, the cement, the telephone poles, PT cruisers from Mexico, those are all great cargoes. But the thing about shipping cargo, the nature of it changes in the post-Panama Canal widening environment coming within the next several years. Cargo wants to go to the very cheapest port it can.
The offshore inland facility is projected to generate $250,000 in annual revenues. About 100 high-wage jobs will be created, handling subsea exploration vessels and making flexible pipe on property adjacent to the port.
We've all seen the Global 1200 down at the port. A ship like that is only budgeted to be in port for 2 weeks a year for refitting. What if we could work with a fleet of ships, maybe some belonging to the folks that own the Global 1200 or to other firms, and they could come to the port for their servicing period throughout the year?
That, says Harper, would not only involve the jobs created by offshore inland, but the shipping firms that likely would assign personnel to the port. Part of that, he says, can be attributed to what he calls the port's built-in competitive advantage.
You know, it's a very short distance to the sea buoy here relative to other ports where those ships might go. And it's a relatively short sail out to the areas of the Gulf that are going to be explored for mineral extraction.
Port Director Amy Miller was not available for comment. In an interview upon taking over last November, she said that ports need to evolve to keep up with the inevitable changes in commerce. She listed her priorities as jobs and revenue in that order.
We have to be a little bit agile. We're a 50-acre port in a downtown area, so I think we have to be prepared to evaluate our resources and allocate those to uses that bring the best and highest results.
Governor Rick Scott and other state officials have led trade missions in hopes of increasing business from Latin America and the Caribbean. Miller says that's also her focus.
You know, international trade today is not what international trade was 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago. We are a north-south port. Our trade has always primarily been north-south here in Pensacola, moving cargo into and out of the southeastern U.S. between Mexico, the Caribbean, and South and Central America, and I think that's always going to be our primary trade lane.
Offshore Inland will move into an existing warehouse. Plans to expand the port appear to be on the back burner for now. But Miller says there's a possibility that the facility could play host someday to what's termed as non-traditional maritime-related uses.
Ferry service on the north end of the port, passenger or car ferry service linking downtown to the beach to Gulf Breeze, a maritime business center outside of the port gate. The customs service could have an office right here at the port. Some of our customers who would like to relocate or expand their office operations could be set up right outside of the port gates.
Next month, the federal government will open areas in the eastern Gulf of Mexico for new oil and gas drilling, the first lease sale in that area in 5 years. The 465,000 acres cover waters more than 3 miles off the coast of Alabama up to a borderline around Pensacola. UWF's Rick Harper says the offshore inland announcement is good timing.
These deep water investments for the major petroleum and gas producing companies take years to implement, and so the flow of work that could come to the Port of Pensacola for good jobs, servicing the ships and doing the engineering work that accompanies it, that should be relatively steady, even as the price of oil and gas fluctuates in world markets.
Construction of the offshore inland facility is set to begin at the port within the next year, with completion scheduled by the end of 2016. Dave Dunwoody, WUWF News.